Hi, everybody. How's it going? Oh, wait, these are local Emmys behind me. They don't count.
Good. Oh, my God.
Welcome to EW's Binge Community, where we're taking a deep dive into the cult classic comedy. I'm Derek Lawrence.
And I'm Chancellor Agard.
Chance, we made it. We're seniors. Today, we're talking season four, which I know is a complicated season to talk about for fans. Commonly known as the gas leak year, but we're still going deep on it on this episode.
We're completists.
You know? Yeah, we absolutely. I never liked when people were like, oh, just skip this season, or oh, you can start at season two for a show. I'm like, nope, got to see it all. That's what we're doing. So on this episode, we're actually joined by not one but two of our favorite Greendale alums. We have Jim Rash and Joel McHale. Which is obviously great because the Jeff Dean relationship is one of the best on the show and one of the funniest, and they were great together. So we're looking forward to sharing that conversation with you. But I mean, let's get to it, Chance. Season four, obviously Dan Harmon, the creator, is not involved. They bring in some new writers, some new showrunners. For you, what's your memory of season four? Was it as bad as you remembered? Was it better than you remembered? What did you think?
I remember when it aired, though, and being very sort of disappointed, I guess, in what it was, I guess, or what that season was like. And so when I was rewatching, it's still not great. It's definitely a fall for the show. But I did find stuff to like, you know?
I mean, there's no getting around it. And, like, you know, Joel really talks specifically about this, and he's like, hey, you know, if you liked the show that season, like, thank you. But, like, you know, it's pretty obvious that it wasn't the same and that the cast members felt that. But yeah, like you said, I think there's still some quality stuff in here. We'll get into it later with Jim and also in our own conversation. Jim wrote an episode here, Basic Human Anatomy, which is, I think, I would honestly say is maybe one of my favorite episodes of the whole series. Like, I think it's really well done. Obviously, there's a reason why Jim Rash is an Oscar winner. The man can write. So there's still stuff to like, even if it's not the community that we grew to love in those first three seasons. So like I said, me and Chance will be back to talk a little bit more about season four. So stay tuned for that. But before that, let's go to our conversation with Jim and Joel.
As a reminder, this interview was recorded via Zoom because of the quarantine.
Today we're talking season four, and with us today we have Joel McHale, who played Jeff Winger, and Jim Rash, who played Indeed Pelton. Thanks for joining us, guys.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
What we're talking season four, so like for you guys, what comes to mind first when thinking of season four?
Well, you want to take this one, Jim?
Well, I mean, season four was obviously an interesting season for us. We were without Dan for this season. I would say it was a little bit of a challenge only because you sort of relied on basically Dan, who, along with the writers, all the writers, had a very distinct understanding of the story and the characters or community. Not that the writers did not during season four by any means, but you know, you can't not feel a difference with any show that's had a graduation of staff or a graduation of to a new showrunner, if someone went on to develop a new show, that's a difficult task for anyone to take on.
Congratulations, it's me. I see we've all reinvented ourselves over the summer. A little late to the hipster party, much?
A little much on the much.
There are certain shows that need the person that created them to be with the show. There's very good examples of that, like Breaking Bad, Arrested Development, Vampire Diaries, or even X-Files, Chris Carter. And the person has the culture in their brain, and the characters are their moms and dads and children and aunts and uncles and friends. And the season definitely lost that magic part of it. And yes, there was, I thought Jim's episode was a particular standout in the whole thing. And I think that Megan Gantz also, who obviously has gone on to do some great things, she really was a savior that season for the writing. And so I know it sounds, for those of you that enjoyed the fourth season, hey, thank you so much. And I hope it doesn't look like we're sitting here complaining about the show that we were on.
No, not at all.
But it, when you're in it, it is definitely it's your job and it takes up a lot of hours. And yeah, you're paid well for it, but that doesn't mean you don't want to make great stuff. And so that was a very long way of saying when Dan came back in season five. That's why this season has been referred to as the gas leak season, and it's an interesting thing. There's still some really good laughs, I think, and
for sure.
And if you enjoy the series and enjoy the fourth season just as much, then please tell me to shut up. But that's being in it. It was a very different feeling.
Yeah.
I mean, I think, and Joel, you brought up Jim's episode. That was one that we wanted to talk about because it is a standout from the season. Jim, curious, I mean, we'd love to hear sort of how you came to write an episode that season. Was it something that you pitched the producers on? Did they come to you? How did that all come together?
You know, early on when we first started the season, they had asked me if I'd be interested in writing one. And to be quite honest, it was an interesting journey for what became what I think was called Basic Human Anatomy. I had sort of started to pitch this idea, and it was a story that I started to formulate, and it completely just, as stories sometimes do, just fell apart. It wasn't strong enough for an episode. And so I went in with the writers, and, you know, there's lots of stuff left over. I mean, Dan would probably have, and all the writers had, like, just tons of, like, one word, two word, three word, long ideas for episodes that sit there, and some will never get written. You know, I think Dan would joke, some would they'd come back to and leave. And one thing that was talked about is the desire to figure out a good storyline to break up Troy and Britta to end that relationship. And one of the things that was up there was just the Freaky Friday was up on the board. And so along with Megan and all the writers there, we were talking about the body switch idea, like Troy's inability to break up and what that could be like. So really it started with basically Freaky Friday and then a task, which was break up Troy and Britta.
I was gonna say, I mean, that episode has to walk a really fine line between making the body swap funny and work, but then also staying true to sort of the emotional story there, which is Troy working through his feelings and being able to break up with Britta. I guess how hard was it, or figuring out that balance and making that work?
It all, the main conceit of it fell on Danny and Donald's shoulders, which was to do basically play each other. And they both did it quite brilliantly. You know, they know each other so well. They had sort of picked up on each other's mannerisms for each character. That's part of the challenge, and obviously they made that happen. But I think that at the core, if you stick with the emotional idea that Troy cannot say the words and in an act of desperation basically convinces Abed that they've switched bodies, basically Abed realizes what Troy is asking him to do. And then in front of Britta starts to realize what Abed is doing for his friend. And ultimately Troy obviously says, I have to grow up, you know, with the help of Jeff, and switch back and be a man in this moment. And so the emotional core of that story allows the concept to help it along without being a spoof. And then we were able to have fun with the stupidity of switching bodies by having the dean just pretend like he switched bodies with Jeff for no apparent reason other than to have a speech where he said that Jeff was inside of him. And I really think that was the way to have the lunacy and also have the heart at the same time with the same concept, you know.
I wish I had my own body back.
Sorry, routine light switch check.
The dean pretending to switch with Jeff was so funny. And this season featured a lot of, that was just one moment between Jeff and the dean in this season. And obviously, like, that dynamic between those two characters became such a great part of the show. What did you guys always enjoy about putting the Dean and Jeff in these situations and kind of getting more and more absurd with it as you went.
That progressed, obviously, in, with any characters as a show starts to age, in like a wine, the characters begin to get, you get to know the characters. And Jim's portrayal of the Dean, Jim, I'm going to compliment you, so please plug your headphones.
I can't wait for this. Thank God I'm recording.
I always say he's Rumpelstiltskin, where he can spin, where there is no laughs, he will spin them, and they, all of a sudden something will be funny, and it doesn't make any sense. That it was, because it was, it did not appear to be there before, and then out of nowhere. And it was one of my favorite things when the Dean would come in and find a way to touch me. Mm-hmm. And it was, I don't know what season that started. Do you, Jim?
It started, I don't know exactly, but it was pretty early on.
Jim, you'll know better than me. There was such a quick joke, but it was such a perfect joke for their relationship, where I am in a hurry and I walk by the door of his office and I'm like, Dean, I need you. And then you just go, finally. Like,
I need you. It's happening. Shut the door.
What? Dean, I need you to give this DVD to Troy and Abed.
Shut the door.
Shut the door. Like it was, he was so ready to like, I was like, finally, Jeff decided to give this a try. And it was just such, it was just two, I mean, it was one sentence and it, like, just barely any words. And I love that sort of thing. I just loved it. So when you, and then you saw the way, like, you see Jim in the Apocalypse Now episode, and then you can see Jim's insane range, which really pisses me off. And one of the best parts about the Dean is that his wardrobe was possibly the finest on the show.
Yeah,
and Jim got to take all that home.
I take it all
really
home.
Nice stuff.
I was gonna wear one for this one, but you know, I don't know. It's just weird.
They're the Smithsonian, right?
Yeah.
They're on loan. They're on loan right now.
It's Feline AIDS Awareness Day, folks. So let's whip it in the keister. Guys, Greendale's music department is flat baroque. So we are having a fundraiser. What's Dean got to do with it? Why, it's time to Tina Turner the clocks ahead. Happy daylight savings.
Jim's character was so important. Same way that Abed was kind of Dan's brain, Jim's character was this anchor of the school, and so many of the plot lines were kicked off by him and controlled by him. And it was I don't know what character to compare it to in any other show, but boy, it was so much fun.
And Joel, I mean, at the top of this, you mentioned how there were, how, yes, this was a difficult season for you guys and for us, but in there were some laughs, some good laughs. I mean, I guess looking back at the season, what are the, after Basic Human Anatomy, the one that after Jim's episode, what are the other episodes that come to mind that you look back on fondly?
Megan wrote the finale of season 4, which was the darkest timeline, and Jeff is graduating. And I thought that, and the everyone faces off against their darkest timeline, was it felt very, you could feel the percolating presence of Dan. And then also I feel like what was the one, remember when you guys took Malcolm McDowell hostage for a grade? It was another a good bottle episode. I thought it was in your apartment.
Yeah.
Do you remember that?
And the Christmas episode.
Yes, which I think is Andy Bobrow maybe as well.
Yeah.
So those are two that stick out to me that I thought a great bottle episodes that utilized the core
was
cast.
That the one where we had that oneer in the beginning where we were putting up decorations in my apartment?
Yes.
Yeah, that was either going to take 2 days to shoot or an hour, and it. We did it twice flawlessly.
Yeah, I think
which is where, you know, I've wonder for those of you watching. It's just one shot that and it lasted 2.5 minutes, and it was very well choreographed. And if anybody screwed up, then you would have to be started over again. And so I'm just saying ours was better than 1917.
Yeah, I think Goodfellas was jealous of it. The Tristram Shapiro did that one, I believe.
Yes, he directed numerous episodes
that
and a
year.
Great man.
Great
and
man.
A very nice guy.
a silly, silly accent, but a really great guy.
I know, he needs to get rid of it. He just thinks it's attractive.
Hello, Dan.
Hello. Hello. Hello,
hi,
Joel.
My name's Bill Sykes.
He would always introduce himself as Bill Sykes. I don't know why. I haven't sat and really watched them again. I think it's because I have like empty nest syndrome with the show. So I don't, it's hard for me to go look back at photos of when you're like kids are little. You're
Oh,
they're so cute. And I love them at that age. It hurts to cause you want that time again. And so
you do.
Now that I've been on other shows, you realize, well, and especially because the show went 6 years, but the specialness of the relationships, especially with that group, was pretty remarkable.
You mentioned, you know, you haven't rewatched the seasons, but season four specifically kind of finally paid off the buildup of Jeff and his dad, you know, and mm-hmm. you meeting, we meet James Brolin and Adam Devine as your brother. What did you like about, from what you remember, kind of finally exploring that relationship for Jeff?
Well, I was just happy to meet James Brolin. And then Adam Devine, I got to know him. So that was really cool. It's fun. It's funny because I think Dan, and I could be talking out of turn here, I don't think Dan ever wanted be a character. His dad, we'd actually meet his dad. I could be talking out of turn here, so please, but I think he wanted him to be like Godot, kind of. So, but I will say that James Brolin is an incredibly nice man, and his son is a terrible actor and not successful. he's done okay. And it was that episode was the funniest person. I mean, Adam Devine is so funny. And then you had Gillian in that with all those scenes too. And I thought they need to do a romantic comedy because they're so funny together. But we didn't really go back to any of that once that had happened and that stuff got worked out. Then Dan did not go back to it in season five. And but I thought James Brolin was a really nice guy. I don't think he later said it in an interview, like, I didn't really get the show, but my daughter wanted me to be in it. And I was like, well, I understand that. That's pretty cool. I don't know what these kids are listening to these days, but if it makes them happy. But he was a super nice man.
So how about we make a couple of ground rules?
Actually, that sounds good. Okay. No hugs.
Wouldn't want one. No apologies.
Wouldn't accept one. No calling you dad.
No expectations.
No BS.
I think that was the last part of that. And then I think we made a big deal about in season four, me moving next door to Jeff and that sort of that was never mentioned again. I think I pop into his apartment in that episode we mentioned, the Christmas Malcolm McDowell one. And that was it for that.
Well, it is sort of interesting to see what did carry over from that season. Like Abed getting a girlfriend coming back in season, Brie Larson coming back in season five, which I liked, and I would say it was interesting to see rewatching to see which elements still managed to sort of survive mm-hmm. the Gasly year and which ones didn't.
I guess wrapping up then, I feel like it got mentioned earlier, but I feel like we can't not talk about the Dean's costumes and his outfits. I mean, they were so. I think it came up when we were talking to Vet and Ken. They were recalling. I think it was the clip episode where. Jim, you just had to film like a bunch of like costume changes in a row. For you guys, was there one that stuck out that you always, you know, maybe for how ridiculous it was or just the dedication? Was there one Dean outfit that really stuck out amongst them all?
I mean, all of those were always a joy for me. I mean, I think just based on construction and concept, where I was half man, half woman, was probably one of the more like, I mean, that was an involved piece. Just the fact that they had created this half dress, half suit with a whole Dean outfit was quite amazing. And I think I put it back on for season four. Speaking of season four, we did that little fake sitcom opening when we were a mm-hmm. multicam now. I think I put it back on for that episode. But I mean, shooting I think that was season two maybe, where it was you guys went to Universal and we shot all those things, those flashback episodes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think it was two. That was where the majority of it. I will say just in the fun fact slash not fun fact of season four, I guess. But I mean, I wore a ton of costumes in season four, and I do know that, you know, one of the big things about season five was the first episode called Repilot, and Dan was, you know, sort of wanting to reestablish the world for a host of reasons, because Jeff Winger had graduated. But also, I don't think season five, I think I maybe wore one, you know, it was sort of like wanting to get back to things, because, you know, the Dean was much more than just costumes, but that was a big part of it. And I loved putting them on. So that is not a negative for me. But
one of my favorites was you were like Lucille Ball, like your black and white television character.
Yeah, that was season four. Yeah, I wore all, I couldn't touch anything. I was completely made up to look like I was in black and white.
And that was incredible.
Basically, I enjoyed the days of getting to dress up and put a ton of makeup on, because the normal makeup they put me on and my clothes, I had basically two pairs of pants and maybe five shirts for the whole six season run as the Dean. And
you know, Jim cares about clothes the way I care about clothes. Yeah, and I'm saying this honestly. So he'd come in the
very
same.
Honest.
He looked, I mean, it was the perfect outfit, but
No, I look at the show now and I'm like, good Lord.
It was
in the best possible way.
I think because Jim wasn't on when you first signed on, you were like a guest star in the pilot.
Yeah.
Right.
I guess.
Then you basically were a guest star for years, because at some one point you were like, you know, I want to have my options open. And then it was like, hey, I need to be a series regular, which he did, because he had so, you know, he was a huge part of every episode. So that's why Jim now owns most of West Hollywood. He's very rich.
Yes.
He owns more property than the Scientologists.
That's so great. I don't live in West Hollywood, but I own it.
Yeah, he doesn't want to. Yeah. You don't get high on your own supply there.
Also.
No one.
More about gel coat.
When the fourth round would.
Don't you call in the.
Don't touch that dial. That's right, we're still calling it a dial here, because it's Emmy season on The Awardist. With the dazzling Oscar season behind us, we are now turning our attention to smaller screens to track which shows are headed to the podium and which shows stopped us in our tracks. Join me, Jared Hall, Entertainment Weekly's executive editor, as well as EW's TV-obsessed staffers, every Thursday starting April 4th, as we share our opinionated hot takes and insight into the Emmys race. The Awardist will get behind the scenes with the creators and stars themselves during in-depth, can't-miss interviews. Follow the long road to the Emmys with The Awardist podcast, Thursday starting April 4th on your favorite podcast platform, and be sure to check out more Emmys coverage at ew.com/awardist.
Thank you to Jim and Joel both for joining us. Joel, you know, pulled double duty, having already talked season one with us, and clearly it was important to him to talk about season four and beyond with Jim. So we appreciate both of them taking the time. Chance, we talked a little bit at the top about season four. It's not the same community from seasons one through three, but what, other than Dan Harmon not being there or the quality not being the same, what comes to mind first when we're thinking of season four?
I know. I felt like this show was in the season very much of the show trying to be what they thought Community was, you know? It never felt like they... The big thing about Dan Harmon's voice is so specific, you know? And I think there are times I felt like they were trying to do their own thing. At times I felt like they were just trying to mimic what they thought Community was. And we talked about this episode a lot on the with Joel and Jim, but I think, as you said, Basic Human Anatomy, I think, is the standout of the episode. I think it's a good mix of both worlds. I think it makes the body swap premise work as well as it possibly could in a show like Community that's still, no matter how goofy it gets, based in reality. And that's why, I mean, that's my favorite episode of the season, I think. And the one that I remember when I look back on this one, I guess.
I'm out of here.
There you go. My work here is done.
You're 1 and 2 again. Now you can direct your anger and resentment at each other. Congrats.
Classic wrap-up.
Shut up, Leonard. I've got a picture of your old nose. It was a lateral move.
Dean.
Annie.
Why is this happening?
Well, yeah, when we were deciding on what our favorite episodes were at each season, we went out of our way to always pick different episodes, just so we could, you know, not sit here and just talk about one episode. We could spotlight a few. But we decided pretty quickly with season 4, it's basic human anatomy. Like, that's the one. There's really no other pick for the best episode. And like you said, there's some hilarious moments in here. You know, like you said, it's the whole concept is Troy and Abed, you know, do the Freaky Friday switch. And then there's some funny stuff there. But then there's also some funny stuff with the Dean pretending that him and Jeff also did the body switch. And his impersonation of Jeff is just incredible. I mean, good for Jim Rash. He pulled off his shirt at one point, and he had some abs there. He was working out for that episode. So there's great stuff there. But then also, it's just the emotions in that. And, like, you really felt it in the Britta-Troy breakup. And, you know, that basically this was Troy orchestrating all this just because he was afraid of having to do what he knew he had to do, and which was break up with Britta. And just the emotion and the heaviness of that really was one of the most emotional moments of the show in its whole run for me.
First, the easiest part, because it's the most obvious. I'm sorry. I think I proved today that I'm not ready for this. I wanted it to work. It did. I care about you so much, and I love being around you. I just think I'm better as your friend.
I personally, the Troy Britta pairing, I never was a fan of it or bought it, really. So for them to take this relationship that I think probably most people would agree they weren't that invested in, and do something like this with the ending, it made that whole storyline worth it, just for the payoff of the breakup.
Going into season 4, I was interested in seeing how that relationship played out. It's weird that, like, it was a kind of a big part of the season, then it stopped being important. I think we never got to see enough of it for me to care about it and to care about it one way or another. And then I think this episode is sort of works in spite of that, though, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I said, well, we're not going to go too deep on any other episodes here, just because, like we said, it's not the same show. There's not as many standouts, but we're going to continue. There's still some great stuff being done by the actors. For our MVP of the season, we went with Joel McHale for a few reasons. A, and this was clear in some of the conversations we had with the cast, Joel was pretty instrumental in making sure Dan could come back, and that Dan would come back for season 5 and then subsequently season 6. So, I mean, we owe him a debt of gratitude just for that. But then a lot of Jeff's arc throughout the show leading up to this season had been his lack of relationship with his father, and that we finally get a payoff to that in the episode Cooperative Escapism and Familial Relations, which you had mentioned. It's a Thanksgiving episode, and James Brolin guest stars as his father. Adam Devine comes in as his brother. What stood out for you from that episode, or just about what Joel kind of was doing in this season and that episode particularly?
It's better than I remember. I completely forgot how I did like it. Just because I think it worked emotionally. It was nice to get to get that closure on that bit. The Adam Devine stuff, I could have gone either way on. But I think Joel just, like, made that storyline work, especially because of his chemistry with Britta, who is also there and intruding on it and trying to do her psychiatrist thing, or her therapist thing. And the Britta-Jeff pairing is always great as well.
Drink.
Scotch.
18.
Neat.
I just want to acknowledge that there are a lot of emotions flowing right now, and you two are probably feeling a strong impulse to sleep with each other, and hey, that's normal.
I mean, we mentioned James Brolin and Adam Devine are both in this episode. I will say season 4 did have an impressive guest roster. You know, we mentioned those two, Fred Willard, Giancarlo Esposito, Trisha Helfer, Luke Perry, Brie Larson, Malcolm McDowell. There's a lot of great people that show up in season 4. Including, this wasn't his first time, but in our B student corner, the supporting character that we wanted to highlight was Magnitude. Pop, pop.
Pop, pop. Pop, 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 p
played by Luke Youngblood. Pop-Pop, I mean, the great thing rewatching, Pop-Pop never doesn't make everyone happy. Like, I remember, I think there was even a paintball episode where everyone was, like, super sad, and he just, like, gives a dying Pop-Pop, and then just, like, everyone's, like, cheering, and everyone gets excited again. But this season, he had a good episode where the dean's trying to lure this rich student, prospective student, Archie, who shows up and loves Pop-Pop so much that he wants it to be his, all right? Mm-hmm. And that leads to the dean saying Magnitude can't have it anymore. And, you know, then we see Magnitude just doesn't know what to do. He's up all night trying to come up with a new catchphrase. I think one he says is like diggity-doo, like asking if that works.
I've been up all night trying out new catchphrases. Diggity-doo.
That's why I picked him for the season, was because of that one bit of him not having Pop-Pop, but just how dejected and confused he seemed to try to figure out what his next, what his bit would be. And again, yeah, I mean, Pop-Pop, it's like one of those jokes that like shouldn't work as often as it does, but it does. It's just so stupid. I don't know.
Speaking of jokes that are stupid but still work well, this is one not related to Magnitude that is personal to you that I wanted to shout out and make you happy. Troy, when Jeff disses the Germans in one of the episodes, those German students, Troy says, someone must have changed the channel to USA because I just watched a Burn Notice.
Dude, iconic line.
I knew that would make you happy, even more happy than Pop-Pop makes everyone else. So I had to give you that. At least we got that gem out of season 4.
I'm not here to argue, Angela Jerkles. Beat it.
Oh, someone must have changed the channel to USA because I just watched a Burn Notice.
Well, that's it on season 4. Like I said, you know, mixed bag, you know, not peak Community, but it still is Community. So we went in on it. That's all the time we have today.
You've heard all our thoughts about how much we love this show. If you want to share yours, you can find me on Twitter at Chancellor Agard.
And me at Derek J. Lawrence. Thanks so much for listening. And remember to subscribe to EW's Binge wherever you get your podcasts so you don't miss an episode.
But please tune into the next episode. We'll be talking season 5 with Danny Pudi, Abed himself. But until then, class dismissed.